Welcome to the Dr. Lisa Show. And this is Dr. Lisa. And today we're going to talk about sports drinks. And the question is, are they healthy? I have a question here from Robert. He says, Dr. Lisa, my son plays a few sports. I dislike giving him sports drinks with dyes in it. And I'm not sure if these drinks are even healthy, but I don't know what else to do. I want to help rehydrate him on the field, especially in the heat. Is there a natural, healthy alternative thing that you suggest? So sports drinks are the beverages that I absolutely cringe when I see kids drinking them. And I actually see in people's houses like loads or cases of them, of those colorful things. Now, I get behind the fact that the parent is being loving and giving them to a child. Understand that you're focused on the importance of hydrating, providing electrolytes to the body during the game. I get it. It's a good heart. It's understandable purpose, but it's not a healthy choice. And just because it's a good thing that you're doing from your heart doesn't mean it's a healthy choice. Let me explain this. So conventional sports drinks, without mentioning any names and bashing any companies here, but you guys know, they're laden with harmful chemicals and additives that act as toxins in the body. And if you go back to season one, I talk about toxins. I talk about what they are. I talk about the definition of what they do to the body. And we talk about how we actually look for harmful ingredients and food triggers, food sensitivities to toxins. We get into all this. And I talk about all different types. And even the podcast before this talk about toxins that are linked to breast cancer. So, and we talked about water. Right? We talked about water and water bottles. So in fact, many of these toxins that we've discussed are linked to severe health problems, such as allergic reactions, intolerant reactions, memory loss, ADD, ADHD, skin lesions, neurological issues. And we've talked about cancers, right? And thyroid issues, autoimmune issues. So truly no child or adult should be ingesting anything that is going to be harmful like that. And being in conventional sports drinks or any of these companies that actually are just going to put them in. And I have a book that we talk about that I have a child. This is how I learned all this stuff. It's called The Over-Tilted Child. But I have a child that has grown up being diagnosed as the autism spectrum. And he has a nervous system that just, you know, worked differently. And a lot of these children struggle to regulate their nervous systems themselves. And when you put neurotoxins into the body, especially these dyes, I'm going to get into this concept in a minute, you're making it worse. You're making their conditions worse. So I'm going to talk about the why behind this so you can understand more of why I'm saying don't do it. So what ingredients are unhealthy in the conventional sports drinks? The first one is where I'm going is artificial dyes and coloring. So we're talking about citrus red 2, red 3, red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, blue 1, blue 2, green 3, goes on and on, right? These dyes, they're derived from coal tar and petroleum. And according to the Center of Science and Public Interest, they've been contaminated with cancer-causing chemicals. If you're trying to know where I'm getting this from, I actually have a blog post on drlisasolcenti.com, and it's called Are Your Sports Drinks Healthy? What You Must Do Right Now? And the research is here to back me up of what I'm saying. The British Food Agency has actually concluded after a study in 2001, we're going back where this was actually becoming very prevalent. They looked at 6 dyes. They also looked at sodium benzoate. That's another ingredient that we've discussed. And they linked it to increased hyperactivity and ADD in children. And as a result, back then, the European Union law required all beverages with these 6 dyes, they listed the 6 dyes, to have warning labels on them, right? And then in 2007, The Lancet actually funded a study and was funded by the UF food industries, and they linked artificial dyes to increased hyperactivity rates in children, but not just children with ADD and ADHD. This was a big study. It was like, you know, life-changing, and it was linking it to all children. And the study supported the claims that food additives can exacerbate hyperactivity, which includes inattention, impulsivity, and overactivity in children from preschool to middle school ages. And this is huge, this study. And this is where with my son, when he was on the, he's 21 now, but when he was in this age group and he was having struggles with Asperger's and the challenges that come with it, we had to understand what the dyes were doing. They're neurotoxins, they're excitatory, and they make this all worse. 2008, the CSPI, the Center of Science and Public Interest, they decided to phase out these 8 dyes because they stated they have potential cancer-causing chemicals and they also are linked to hyperactivity. So many of these dyes and colorants that are used in common foods, right? Candies, sports drinks, but hot dogs, ketchup, cheese. And think about a lot of these dyes. They're in a lot of the kids' food. You go down the aisles for the kids, the cereals, right? The cookies, the snacks, all that stuff. They're starting in Europe to take them out back then. Dye orange B is reported to be used in hot dogs and sausage casings. That was banned in Canada. Blue 1, red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6. They've been linked with allergic reactions. And in fact, yellow 5, which is a bright yellow coal tar dye, it's called tartazine, that actually was prohibited for in Norway and Finland. If that's not crazy enough, just that little blurb there that I've given you, that you're now knowing that your children are drinking such toxic soft drinks and eating such food, toxic foods. The U.S. companies, let's get back to U.S., Kraft, Coca-Cola. Again, I don't want to really tackle companies. And Walmart, these companies actually move toxic dyes and colorants in their same product in Europe. You could go to Food Babe. She does this phenomenal. She'll go through each company and each product and she'll show you. Her name is Food Babe. And she'll show you something like, and I'm using Kraft just as an example, as macaroni and cheese. They'll actually make them without, let's say, the orange dyes or the dyes in Europe, because Europe now has all these laws, but they'll make them with the dyes here. So these companies, unfortunately, in the U.S., has allowed these companies to laden our foods with these dangerous additives and these chemicals, but Europe has not allowed them. So my point to you, as I'm trying to make, is these companies will change their product and take out these harmful ingredients for the companies that, or for countries that force them to, right? But here they're like, eh, no. So I'm not making this up that this stuff is harmful and this stuff is still in our foods. And there's a quote here, and it was in the psychiatry for ADD, ADHD, and the med page today, where they say the Southampton study provides evidence of effects of artificial food colorings and additives on children's behaviors. And the authors continue saying, using a combination of objective measures, we base partly on observation in the classrooms and the ratings made by independent teachers and parents in different contexts of the homes. And we looked at double-blind challenges with quantitative additives equal to typical dietary intake. So they explain their study and how they've come across that. Listen, sports drinks is a main culprit. There's no way around this. It's all food dyes, and it also has some other bad ingredients in what I'm going to about jump into. But that was just the dyes. If we look at natural and artificial flavoring, which I brought up briefly in the last podcast to Google that, but now I'm going to jump into it. The Wikipedia defines artificial flavoring as a substance not identified in a natural product intended for human consumption, whether or not the product is processed. These are typically produced by fractional distillation and additional chemical manipulation of a naturally sourced chemical such as crude oil or coal tar. That's the definition. And if you want to know what that means, they're basically stating that it's something that has been chemically manipulated, although it may have started out as some kind of natural chemical such as oil or tar, right? I find it easy to understand that artificial flavoring means the flavoring of foods with artificial ingredients, which are synthetic and toxic to the body, period. That's how I see it. That's not hard for me to understand. The artificial flavors are synthetically made, they're altered and chemically manipulated, and they're toxic. All right. Let's find out natural flavoring. This one's a little bit more ambiguous and a little bit more misleading. It's defined as substances obtained from plant or animal raw materials by physical, microbiological, or enzymatic processes. They can be either used in the natural state or the process for human consumption, but cannot contain any natural, identical, or artificial flavoring substances. So this is a pretty good definition where you're led to believe that the food that's naturally flavored is coming from something that's healthy and safe, right? If you look at the definition, it's coming from a plant or an animal raw material, and it can be used either in a natural state or human consumption, and it cannot contain any natural, identical, or artificial flavoring substances. You're like, okay, this is safe. Nope. Let's go. There are many food items on the shelves that say all natural, natural flavoring, but they're actually loaded with harmful chemicals that can cause diseases. Natural flavoring can mean glutamate, MSGs, autolyzed yeast, hydrolyzed soy protein, artificial sweeteners, right? Things made from duck feathers and human hair, GMOs, which are genetically modified organisms, things made from anal secretions from animals, and other gross ingredients. So because it's natural, let's say human hair or duck feather, or God forbid an anal secretion, it is natural, right? So they can call it natural, but it doesn't mean it's not healthy or disgusting or safe. So the FDA definition of natural flavoring or natural flavors allows for the substance to be extracted from plant or animals, correct? So when you buy something that's natural, you could be eating a pig, a cow, a turkey, a chicken, a lamb, which was shot up with growth hormones, fed GMO pesticides laden corn and grains, could be mixed with other animals of the same breed. So you could have just the gross parts too of the meat, shot up with antibiotics due to infections and diseases. You could have things that are like animal secretions, and you can also have things part with their feces. You could have just what we're gonna say, natural things that are just not meant to be consumed. So unfortunately, our FDA laws are a little tricky in this area of gross ingredients that can be considered natural flavoring. Again, you can check out Food Babe there. She goes over beaver and anal secretions of beavers for flavoring food. You grossed out? Natural flavoring is not what you think it is. Okay, sports drinks also have, if you look at the ingredients, it's usually water, sugar, dextrose, citric acid, natural and artificial flavoring, salt, sodium citrate, this is typical. Monopotassium phosphate, modified food starch, glycerol, ester of rosin, and then their dyes. So a high sugar content is the second ingredient in most of them. And this is quite high and truly unnecessary. The content is usually not a low number. So we must look at the type of sugar. That's what it is, because it just says sugar and you're thinking, all right, well, maybe it's just, you know, raw cane sugar. When you see the words glucose, dextrose, maltose, fructose, highly processed, high fructose, corn syrup, corn starches, and other sugar variants, this is what we have, sugar. So it can be mentioned once, it can be mentioned several times. You won't realize that there's different words that could be many sugars. And also a lot of them can be derived from genetically modified organisms, which has been linked to serious health problems. Conventional sports drinks, they're not usually found GMO free, and you can check the non-GMO project. That's a great website. If you ever want to know if a food is genetically modified, they'll list the foods there, and it's a great tool for to know if a product is safe or GMO free. There's also, they have an invisible GM ingredient list, which may contain GMOs depending upon the source or the ingredients it comes from. What that means is, say you're looking at an ingredient of a food or a sports drink, and you don't know if the word dextrose comes from GMOs. So you could actually go to this invisible GM ingredient list and put dextrose in there and you'll know. Food starch, you could put it in there and you'll know. So that's actually great. And again, you can go to my website for this article and it's all in here for you. A hyperactive or an over-tilted nervous system needs to avoid drinks that and foods with high processed sugar contents. Again, sugar, cancer loves sugar. It's what feeds it. It's the food to sugar. You basically, cancer feeds off of sugar. It loves an acidic environment, as we mentioned in the previous content about, the podcast when we talked about water and oxygen. And we talked about an acidic environment. So cancer loves sugar. It loves acidity. It loves inflammation. And it hates oxygen, right? So here we go with high sugar content. Next thing in the sports drinks is a high salt content. Salt is used in sports drink. That's the electrolyte that they put in there. But many types of salts are actually unhealthy, and the amount of salt can be unhealthy. In fact, many salts today on the market are highly processed, and they lack the ability to provide essential minerals and trace minerals needed by the body because they're processed, right? They're altered in the lab. And instead of conventional sports drinks, they load the body with high salt, sugar, and harmful dyes, and they create a toxic playground for disease. So it's not a great thing. The last thing I want to bring up about the water bottle, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, is the sports drinks, is they're typically in plastic bottles. So if drinking a drink that's loaded with toxic dyes, high salt, and high sugar, and it's bad enough, the companies love to put their blue colored demon drinks in these plastic water bottles, right? And we, please listen to the podcast before this if you don't know about plastic and the plastic bottle dilemma, but they aren't healthy for us. Plastics bottles, the plastic part of the bottle is derived from petroleum, and it can leach harmful chemicals in the very liquid that they hold. So some chemicals are linked to creating hormonal havoc, estrogen displacement, endocrine problems, and also cancer. And if that's not enough harm for there, these bottles don't do great for Mother Earth either, right? We're leaving tons of water bottles around that I've talked about, and now we're leaving sports drinks bottles around on our Mother Earth. So most on-the-go water bottles, again, we talked about the safe numbers. We talked about PBA in the podcast before this. We talked about how those good plastics, the safe one, was number 2, number 4, and number 5, but most water bottles are actually number 1 and number 7. So I don't personally drink from these. I talk about in the other podcast how you can get around that and how you can drink very safely. But you might want to look at the number on the sports drink and what you're drinking. All right, what can you do? Because I'm going to be leaving you in very shortly, and I want you to have some take-home information. So what can you do, or how do you make a homemade sports drink? So what are you going to do, right? That's what Robert asked. He's like, so I get that these are bad now. What do I do from here? So you can drink filtered water. We talked about that. It's a simple way, right? It's better than soft drinks and it's better than sports drinks. And you make sure the water is not from bottled water due to the chemicals, you know, leaching from the plastics. And you can go back to the podcast to learn all about the water. If you need to put an electrolyte in the water, you can use an organic non-GMO pink Himalayan sea salt. And the recipe is here on my blog. If you put 1/3 teaspoon of pink Himalayan sea salt to 3 cups of water, you'll be adding up to 84 trace minerals to the water. And in doing so, you've created an easy, healthy sports drink. Now, if you're taking 1/3 teaspoon of pink Himalayan sea salt to 3 cups of filtered water, you know, healthy water, it's going to taste like salt water. So you can add a little bit of splash of 100% fruit juice to filter to the water to give it a sweetness if your child's like, oh, this is just salt water. So that's what we do. We'll add real fruits to the water to add the vitamins and the flavoring, but especially the sweetness. So you can do slices of strawberries, raspberries, lemons, limes, cucumbers, you know, or you can just put a little bit of fruit, 100% fruit juice in there. What I tend to do is I'll put the 3 cups of water in the water bottle. You know, we do a safe, of course, healthy sports bottle. I told you that I love Life Factory. I told you that we love Hydro Flask. We talked about Camelback. We talked about the healthy sport water bottles in the podcast before this. So I tend to fill that up, you know, 3/4 up, which is about 3 cups. And then I'll do the 1/3 pink sea salt in there. And then I'll just put the rest of it. I'll fill it up with 100% fruit juice. Now, before I wrap this up, you need to understand one thing. 100% fruit juice is 100% fruit juice. When you go to juice, that's a whole nother topic. A lot of it's going to have sugars in it, and it's going to have like these bad sugars, these high fructose corn syrups, right? These dextrose, these fake sugars, and it might have some dyes in it. So now you're not really doing any good, right? So you want to use 100% fruit juice, and it's just a splash of it to sweeten it up. You could add a natural sweetener. I never have to do, but you could, if you needed to, make the sports drink sweeter, and you can try a little bit of local honey. You know, you could try stevia or something like that can sweeten it up for you. Another great electrolyte drink is coconut water. A recent study compared filter water with sea salt, conventional sports drinks, and coconut water using athletes. They all produced the same results in performance and hydration, and all the safety of the ingredients and products were not the same, right? The The study showed that filter water with sea salt and coconut water were the safest and just as effective in hydration and performance as these conventional sports drinks. So simply make sure that coconut water is certified organic and non-GMO, and you will have the healthiest sports drink you can get on the go. I also have here on my blog, and again, the article, in case you missed it, is "Are Your Sports Drinks Healthy? What You Must Do Right Now." You could just put in the search box sports drinks and it'll come up. At the very bottom, I have three recipes: a limeade sports drink recipe, an orangeade sports drink recipe, and a strawberry lemonade sports drink recipe. So if you want to make it yourself, I do it for my kids. I've taught them how to do it because they're older now. They're all there for you. So we just answered Rob's question of why sports drinks are not healthy and what the natural healthy alternative he can do. And so can you. Thanks for listening.